Talk about toxic masculinity there. One of the things that's always associated with that is just men's lack of willingness to like make a phone call and to a friend and say, listen, I am not okay. And you know, you also have been very open about the day where you were feeling like that and your superwoman mother.
Yeah.
Once again, she called you coincidentally or?
Yeah, coincidentally. Well, it was kind of like, I went to call her and then like shit, like I texted her a couple of times and then she just called me.
Because you were feeling bad, so you text her.
Yeah, I mean, people will tell you this, but when you're in that zone, you know, if you're in a absolute spiral, everything goes into a right blur. All I know is that I was in my house and I was in my pants and I could not stop crying and I couldn't stop worrying about everything and my head was going like a whirlwind. Like, I was worrying about stuff that wasn't even logical. Like,
what was your brain telling you?
I can't even describe it. Like, it's like the only way it feels like anything in my head that could have been a problem was a problem. Have you ever had like, you know, when you're hungover and like the next day, I don't know if you drink, but the next day, right? If you have a hangover, you have this like paranoia thing, like throughout, like stuff just makes you feel a little bit edgy.
Whispery.
Like, yeah. It's like that, but a million times. The only way also that I talk about it's like paranoia and it's like your brain becomes Mike Tyson and is just beating you up and you've not had one boxing lesson in your life. So you're just kind of like, you can't do anything. You're just taking it. Right. And it's like your things like you look bad, you've not done this, your tax bill's this, you're this, you're this, you're this, you're this. Are you ever gonna do this? You're never gonna do this. Blah, blah, blah. Loads of like voices. And at that point I just said to myself, you know, I don't know what to do. And then the only thing I could think about was I was okay, well I'll just you know, take my own life. I'll just kill myself. That's honestly how I felt. Cause I was like, that's the only way to stop this. Your whole mind just blanks. And that's the same thing that I've spoken to a lot of people that have attempted to take their own life. And they all say the same thing. Those moments that you have are completely like just so intense that your mind goes, it implodes and you don't even know. And that's why a lot of men will tell you that when they, you know, if they take it to that step, which is a huge step, to decide, okay, I'm going to take my own life. A lot of men go, that was my happiest moment because I felt like in that time I was in control of my life, which is a really scary thought and a really sad thought, that they feel like the biggest amount of clarity that they've ever had in their life and the moment where they felt at peace was when they felt like, okay, I'm going to do this and everything will stop. But the problem is that that's not the answer. And it's really not. And when I speak to, you know, in the documentary, I speak to Joe's mum. Keep in mind, this is 3 months after her son has passed away. And she's had to be told that her son, who she's raised, has taken his own life. She sums it up in such an amazing way, which is kind of touching on a very dangerous topic of selfishness around suicide, which a lot of people don't want to talk about, but it's the truth, which is suicide isn't necessarily a selfish act by that person. But the problem is that no matter what pain that person is feeling in that moment, no matter what pain you're going through in your head or sadness, you do not get rid of that by taking your own life. All you are doing is you are transferring it to everyone around you. Mm-hmm. And you are transferring that. On average, 180 people get affected by one singular suicide. And that is what you are doing. And it's just a fact, you know, like for 2 months, I absolutely hated Joe. I hated him. After he died, I felt quite cold because I was just like, how could you do that? I felt like, how could you leave me, your mum, your dad, your sister? How could you do that? How could you let someone find you? Like, do you know what I mean? So it's in that you realize that no matter how much that clarity is there and you feel like you're escaping a problem, you are passing that on to someone else. And that's what's left behind you. And I know for a fact that I know, like, I would put so much money on that if he was here right now, he'd look at me and say, sorry, mate, made a mistake. 100%.
So much I was thinking about there. So the first thing is my business partner also said to me, he was considering jumping in front of a train. Yeah. That's what he said to me in our private conversations. The other thing is just this It's really hard for someone who's not been through what you're describing there, what you went through, and evidently what Joe went through, to understand that place if you've not been there. This is why it's so valuable. And like I was thinking, you know, as you kind of alluded to there, you didn't choose for everybody to ask you in every interview about this topic. Yeah. But the immense value that it's doing on someone like me, who's been fortunate enough not to be in that place, who can now from your description there, that Mike Tyson description, can now understand that, how that must feel.
Yeah.
I can't, but I can almost.
But the thing is what's better is, because you are in a higher risk category than me.
Yeah, I know, which is fucking terrifying.
Yeah. because now that I've spoken to you about it, yeah. you're not.
Yeah.
Because that's the problem, is that, you know, all of the guys that I spoke to said to me, they were like, didn't think mental health was a thing.
Mm.
Didn't think what I was going through was depression. Thought I was just rubbish. And just thought I wasn't where I wanted to be in life, just wanted that to end. That's the realization of it.
Hmm.
You know, and again, it's that thing of, you know, it's a topic that no one really wants to talk about, and is also why I was so adamant that this is the worst thing, right? Is if you're in that state, your mate's in that state, right? The last thing he wants to do is talk to you about that. So why is the kind of push always, oh, if you're feeling depressed, you should talk? No, that's the last thing I want to do. If anything, you're going to make me revert more, right? You're going to make me go back more. The pressure should be placed on us as friends to make that call and to make that conversation happen with anyone that you would ever suspect. Even if you don't suspect it, make sure. How sure are you? How sure are you of the people in your phone book or your close friends that they're not thinking these thoughts?
Not sure enough.
But that's what I mean. So all you have to do is have that conversation. But that will take you having that conversation. I always say, I do a lot of talks for businesses about mental health. And I always leave it with, you know, go away today, choose three people in your phone book that you speak to regularly, and ask them, are they okay? But do it twice. You know, and that's something that I learned from a group of lads who had lost their mate. They now look after each other by asking at the beginning of the conversation, are you okay? Have the conversation and then just go back to it and be like, so tell me, are you okay? Choose three people, do that two okay rule on them, and tell me that you haven't found something new from at least one of those people.